Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Whoever you are, and whatever you have done, there is a new beginning. In the gospel, there is offered for you and for me a fresh start. I've called this message, Jesus and a Fresh Start.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Sometimes we make the mistake of letting past sins identify us. But God has a far greater plan for our future, and by His grace, we are far more than the sum of our past sins. Today, we're learning about the fresh start we can all experience through the power of Jesus Christ. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce the second part of his message, titled, Jesus and a Fresh Start.
Whatever your marital status, however you may describe your sexuality, irrespective of what you've done in the past, I have tremendous good news. As we learned last time, in Jesus, there is a fresh start. Now, this concludes the 12 broadcasts we've had on this subject of the teaching of Jesus on marriage and gender. And we're concluding this series on the message of hope, of forgiveness, of freedom, and a fresh start. Last time we saw that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must be born again. Today, we look at the power of the gospel in a city full of sinners of all varieties. Join me now as we think of the transformation of the gospel.
Notice in verse 9, the first sin that Paul mentions, it is sexual immorality. Sex outside of marriage, we've talked about that in the series. He's saying that fornicators and adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who engage in sexual activity outside of marriage, whether they are married or unmarried, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Adultery is sexual intercourse with someone other than your spouse. Fornication is sexual intercourse with someone when you're not married. Then he says, verse 9, nor men who practice homosexuality. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. These words translate two Greek words, which in some translations are translated as the effeminate and homosexual. The footnote in my Bible, the English Standard Version, has a footnote saying, this phrase, which they translate men who practice homosexuality, refers to the passive and active partners in consensual homosexual acts. You say, but John, it's legal in our country. Yes, it is legal, but it is a sinful act. And Paul is saying very clearly that those who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, as we saw in the series, having same-sex temptations is not sin, but Paul is referring in these sins to the continuing practice of these sins. That God holds you and me responsible for our actions and our choices. You say, well, I'm okay. I don't think I'm sexually immoral. Let's look at verse 10. Some of you are a little self-righteous here this morning. Here's the other list. Nor thieves. Any thieves here? Any cheats? Anyone here who would cheat the government out of your taxes and then boast about it? Anyone not paying their bills? Any shoplifters? Thieves. Anyone stealing from your employers? Thieves. Nor the greedy. Wow, greedy? Anyone greedy here? You're never satisfied. You make money and you still want more. Your boss gives you a raise that's never quite enough. Instead of saying thanks, you're complaining. You're a greedy individual. Drunkards. We call them today alcoholics. Drunkards. You say, well, it's not wrong to have a glass of wine. No. But the drunkard's not just drinking a glass of wine, is he or she? Anyone? Your drinking is out of control. Oh, you don't say you're an alcoholic, but You can't get through a day without a drink. And it's not just one drink, isn't it? And it's taking over your life. Nor revilers. This is more and more common in our society, isn't it? Revilers, social media, the nasty, mean things that people say, they stir up trouble, even in the church. Revilers, abusive, never happy unless they're in a fight. Revilers, nor swindlers. Any of you been swindled? It's a terrible thing to be swindled, isn't it? Some of you have been in business and somebody has swindled you. Anyone swindled someone? You've been in business, you were dishonorable. None of them will inherit the kingdom of God. Why do I take a little time to go over verse 10? Because when we approach this subject, we tend to think, oh, I'm not a homosexual. I'm not an adulterer. I'm okay. No, you're not okay, because Paul lists other sins there. And they're all in the same list. They're all classed as unrighteous, and that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't that what the text is saying? But aren't you glad there's verse 11? Because these verses make us squirm a bit, don't they? I don't think any of us would stand up and say, oh, none of this has ever applied to me. But notice, Paul says, but such were some of you. That in the church at Corinth, from that moral cesspool, God had called men and women and boys and girls. And some of them were sexually immoral. And some of them were swindlers. And some of them were drunkards. And some of them were homosexuals. But now he says, such were some of you. And in the grace of God, there were Corinthians who were free from these sins, and they're no longer numbered with such people. Because with our Lord Jesus Christ, how we need to learn this, how important it is that we grasp this, that when God in his grace saves you, there is a monumental change. Here are these lists of these terrible people. Such were some of you. I'm talking to those of you who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. Has there been a difference? I'm very, very thankful that when I came to Christ as a boy of 12, we sang a little chorus, which I've never forgot. And I understood it at a certain level, and it impacted me, and it continues to impact me. Some of you may know it. In my mind, I go back to that camp. Boys only. And here, these boys, I was one of the oldest, I was 12. It was from 9 to 12. And we sang, things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to stay. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. Have you grasped that? That the Christian life is not just saying, I believe, and repeating a little prayer. It is a fundamental, radical change by God himself. Notice what Paul says. This happened in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Up to that time, you know what the idol was in my life? A football, a soccer ball. And from that moment, I understood this, that my life was to focus not on a soccer ball, praise God, because it wasn't really all that good. But things were different. There's a different orientation. I understood that as a boy of 12. I understood that when I had received Christ, that something monumental had happened, that John Monroe was never the same again. Have I lived a perfect life since then? Absolutely not. I failed over and over again, but I understood that with Jesus Christ, there's a fresh start. And there's a fresh start for a little boy, and there's a fresh start for you, whatever your sin is. Notice how beautifully Paul describes it here in verse 11. He says you were washed. Oh, isn't that good? Washed thoroughly is the point. Completely spiritually clean. Paul is emphasizing with this word the washing off the defilement of our sin. Sin dirties us, doesn't it? We feel sleazy. We feel bad. There's guilt and there's shame. And now we come to Jesus Christ and he washes us thoroughly. You feel dirty? You feel unclean? You feel soiled? You feel bruised, scarred because of your sin? You think, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I could begin again. That's the gospel. You can begin again. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ humbly like a little child, you will experience this spiritual washing. It is a total washing. That when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the price of all of my sins were paid. And that John the Apostle can say so wonderfully in 1 John 1, the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin. One or two of you know your Bible, praise God. Don't you love that little word, all? He doesn't say he just cleanses us from our sin. He cleanses us from all our sin. This is what Paul is saying. He is the beautiful, perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How does he do that? Through his cross. And this washing, verse 11, is connected to two other actions. They are, you were sanctified. First you're washed, you're sanctified. What does sanctified mean? It means set apart as holy. Here is this drunkard in Corinth, and he's saved, he's set apart as holy. Here is this businessman who's known as a sleazy swindler in Corinth. He's saved, washed, set apart. Here is this adulterer, nasty individual. He's saved, he's sanctified, he's set apart. Here is this homosexual. He's saved. He's washed totally. And he's sanctified. He's set apart as a clean vessel of God to begin a new life, a fresh start in our Lord Jesus Christ. They're washed, they're sanctified, they're justified. What's justification? It has been declared righteous by God. Here we are with our sin and our brokenness and our ego. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes, washes us, sets us apart. Ah, but he does something else. We're justified. What does that mean? It means that the Lord Jesus takes our sin and we receive his righteousness. It's not just that my sins are forgiven. It's more than that. The righteousness and the sinlessness of my beautiful Lord Jesus Christ is paid to our account, justified. Such were some of you. See, those in the kingdom of God have a new identity, have a fresh start. This washing, this sanctification, this justification are the foundation of the Corinthians' identity as Christians. They are no longer to regard themselves, and others are no longer to regard them as sexually immoral. No longer are they going to say here in the church at Corinth, you see, brother Bob, he was the adulterer. You see, sister Jeannie, she had a real drink problem. Remember that? No. Their identity has totally changed. No longer are they to regard themselves as sexually immoral or drunkards or homosexuals or swindlers. Their identity is no, our identity is no longer in these sins. Can I say to you, brother, sister, do not allow your past to define who you are. That's the device of the enemy. He wants to take you back to these sins, and you need to remind him, I was like that, but I am no longer. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. You are now in Christ. Are you grasping this? We have a new identity. No wonder many alcoholics or homosexuals or drug addicts or lesbians despair. They've bought into the lie that their sin is their identity, that it is an inborn characteristic to which there is no answer, they can't change, and they have no hope. Do not buy into that mindset. Our identity is not based on our sexuality or our conduct or our drinking or our drug addiction or our marital status or our nationality. Our identity is in Christ. It is rooted and grounded in the gospel of the grace of God. I think today in evangelicalism, we've lost the fact that Christ comes and makes this radical change. The wonder of being washed and sanctified and justified. These three verbs in verse 11 all refer, I think, to a decisive break with the past and the beginning of a new, fresh, pure life. That's symbolized by our baptism, isn't it? A new beginning. I think it's wonderful. It's only in the gospel you can have this fresh start. So Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. What's the old? My sin, my drinking, my immorality, my swindling, my stealing. That's in the past. It's gone. And the new has come. Fresh start. Are you ready to humble yourself like a little child? Matthew 19:14. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Will you repent today and receive Christ as your Savior and to be washed and you're sanctified and you're justified, empowered by the Holy Spirit who now resides inside of us to live a life of purity? Oh yes, we're drawn to our past sins. Our flesh is never converted. It's always there. The devil will harass you. The devil will try to draw you back. But we now have a new life, a life in the risen Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. So when you look at someone, some of you know people's past sins, don't think of them like that. You're in a new family, a new community. It's called the church, a new identity. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm now in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of God forever. So if you come in humble repentance, whatever your sin is today, I'm asking you to do that. He will save you. He'll cleanse you. He'll forgive you. He'll fill you with His Spirit, give you the power to live a holy life, the power to be a fresh start. Don't despair, whoever you are. Christ comes in love to save you, to redeem you, to help you, to rescue you from your sin. There's an old hymn that says, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. That moment, that very moment, you'll be washed and washed completely. Messed up, struggles, regrets, sins and failures. Here at the cross, there's hope for us. There's grace. There's forgiveness. There's a fresh start. There is salvation. As you come in this morning, just think of someone put a label on you. Just one sin. One of your really bad, nasty sins. Some of us know what these are, but some of you have hidden them. And there it is. You come in and you look down, there it is. Adulterer, swindler, cheat, reviler, homosexual. You come and sit down. You say, well, it would be interesting to see everyone's sins. You wouldn't be looking at them. You'd be so ashamed and think, yes, that is me. This is John Monroe. And that's only one sin, one of the big ones. But think of all of the sins you've committed. And you sit there in despair and the shame and the guilt of all of it overwhelms you. But just think, our Lord Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And our Lord Jesus Christ comes to you and he says your name, Jim, Susie. And you look up. He sees the sin. And he looks at you, and it's love and it's compassion. And he takes that label off you and puts it on himself. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Can you imagine all of the sin in the sanctuary? And our Lord Jesus Christ is totally covered with the sin. Paul says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He takes all of that sin, and he pays the price for it on Calvary. Rising from the dead, he's justified, conquering sin and the devil, and now offers you, if you come, salvation. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, what am I to do if you've never yet come to Christ? I plead with you, I beg you to cry out to Christ to save you. And he'll cleanse you as you receive him and believe that he's the Son of God, risen from the dead. Some of you are followers of Christ and these sins of the past have crowded in, and you need to repent of them. There needs to be a decisive break, doesn't there? And ask God once again to forgive that sin and ask him with his help that you will live a life for the glory of God. We ask that, Father, in our Son's name. We thank you that only in Christ there's a fresh start. All of us need that. A new beginning. Some have not yet been born again. They're not in the kingdom of God. And they never will be unless they repent and become like little children and cry to Christ for salvation. May they look to the Savior and live. Work in our hearts through your Spirit now, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Today, we're concluding our study of the teaching of Jesus on marriage and gender with a message titled, Jesus and a Fresh Start. And John will be right back to finish our lesson in just a moment. Well, despite all the confusion and anxiety in our world today, followers of Jesus have been given truth and certainty in the Word of God. And to help you gain a better grasp of the peace that God provides, John has just written a new booklet titled Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. By sharing a bit of his own testimony and providing a thorough examination of Scripture, John answers very real questions you may have about salvation, sin, and what it truly means to be secure in God's grace. This new booklet is completely free, so request your copy today by mail or download when you visit calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And today, we encourage you to take your own step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting this ministry. You can join our efforts to share the good news of Jesus Christ when you send a financial gift of any amount. Make your donation today when you go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Have you had a fresh start in your life? All of us have been defiled and polluted by our sin. But the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. May it be said of you as it was said of the Corinthians, and such were some of you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the cross of Jesus and experience a fresh start. Do join me next time as we begin to anticipate Christmas and celebrate the birth of our magnificent Savior.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.